And today we are now moving on to live guests. Oh my God, what are we going to do at Solidarity Breakfast? We've got live guests, and it's about a fantastic thing, plausible deniability. G'day, Ian Crittenden.
Hey, Annie, how are you?
Good. And you are responsible, or partially responsible. And the other person in the studio is Rachel Gerzup.
Hi, how are you going?
I didn't say that right, did I?
No, but no one does, so it's completely fine.
But you're also responsible with the whole team of people around a six-part series. Is it six?
There's now seven. We released the last one last night. So there's sort of six episodes and then this bonus episode, which is the documentary that the kids have made.
Yeah, this is fantastic. And it's all about homelessness, but it's a very curved ball, isn't it? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, look, it is. It was one of those things that it was something, an issue that I'd been aware of for a long, long time. And a few years back, I'd written a half-hour pilot called Vicious Cycle about two brothers, a brother and sister, who are living on and off the streets of Melbourne. And they'd come in contact with this homelessness task force with a dysfunctional politician and a socialite. And it was something that had stuck in the back of my mind. And then 2 years ago, I worked on a short form series out of Sydney called It's Fine, I'm Fine, with a director, Steph Smith, which was about a suburban psychologist. And she had 12 patients, and each episode was a different story. And so there was something about that construct that sort of stuck with me. So when I was looking for something to write, and I knew that Screen Australia had sort of funding available, a sort of talent escalation, the issue of homelessness was something that sort of popped its head up. And it was sort of, how do you put a spin on it that is slightly different? It's very easy to go down the sort of the dark and gloomy or the emotive sort of space, but how could you use comedy to sort of bring people to an issue so that the comedy lures them in and they have a laugh, and while they're having a laugh, they're sort of gently debunking some of those myths and stereotypes.
It's almost very, it's like Indigenous humour, very dark humour around very dark subjects, but making belly laughs.
It is, yeah, and that's the challenge, I think, with some of the writing, was how do you actually make people laugh out loud so that it's not this sort of a wry comedy where you just sort of smile. It's something that you can laugh quite loudly at an issue that's really serious. And it was something that came through when I started talking with Rachel and some of the other story consultants, that even through the darkness of the issue, there's always humour, there's always heart and humour and pathos there. And I think comedy is a way that a lot of people deal with, you know, really serious situations.
It's like music, it's very human.
Yeah, it is. And I think there's, even in the way that it's written, there's a rhythm to some of those speeches and to some of those characters. And I think that's why some of the people that come in to be interviewed are quite recognisable, because they're not archetypes, but they're sort of, they've got that rhythm to the way they sort of talk, particularly people like politicians or, a priest or even an influencer.
You've got, in fact, I wrote them down. You've got a footballer, social entrepreneur, politician, influencer, pop star and archbishop. How did you get involved in this, Rachel?
Well, thankfully, Ian reached out to me after reading one of my articles that was published in a book on homelessness. And it's something I've wanted to do for ages, dip my sort of toes in to like screen film writing. And so I think it was really lovely that this was the thing that I got to play around with. And so when he reached out to me, I was like, yes, this sounds amazing. And I'm not a very funny person myself. I don't watch a lot of comedy. So I was also really intrigued by the slant of the dark comedy, and I think it worked so well, because even when I was watching the end product, I was laughing and cringing, and it even made me think about certain things that had annoyed me about homelessness, but in like a new way because of the way that
it's not so much the homelessness, it's actually as the kids, because let's talk about the setup, how the setup works.
Yeah, so essentially you've got three primary school age kids from the western suburbs and their teacher, and they're doing a class project on homelessness. So they decide that they'll make a little documentary, and they'll invite six thought leaders into their school, and they'll interview a different thought leader each day about the issue and their sort of approach to homelessness and things that they might have done to help or things that they haven't done to help. And the sort of the unseen bit is that the kids have had a video that's gone viral. It might have been a TikTok video or something. So they've got a little bit of buzz about them. So suddenly these people who ordinarily wouldn't want to come in and talk to three kids about a serious issue are thinking, well, what's in it for them? So they're happy to come to the school and have a chat. And then sort of over the 10 minutes that each episode sort of unfolds, you sort of get a sense of what the kids are asking them, that then the ulterior motive behind, which is where the comedy is. You've got these adults that are here trying to put one over the kids, but the kids are sort of debunking everything that the adults are trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. So Rachel, what was the tone of your article?
It was, well, I've done many articles actually on homelessness.
Have you been homeless?
Yes, I have been homeless. I was homeless when I was 17. So I've written quite a lot about my own personal experiences, and from really emotive pieces to really factual, serious pieces. And something that kept on coming up, like over and over, was that people were putting stories into my mouth, saying things like, oh, so, you know, when you slept rough. It's like, well, I never slept rough. So again, being able to see the kids debunk those myths to the people that I had to debunk the myths to was really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like, what do people call it? Poverty porn or something,
yes,
like that, you know,
yeah,
where they want the grit and the blood as opposed,
exactly,
to the slow destruction of a person's sense of stability.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's very deep
for
a Saturday morning, Annie, but yes.
Yeah, well, that's about it, really. I mean, I remember seeing this fantastic film about older women being homeless, and a woman who has written this best-selling book, and she said, I would never have written this book if I didn't have anywhere to live now.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the story consultants we worked with, Maria, she became homeless when she was in her 50s, and it was a typical story of sort of an older woman who was fleeing domestic violence, and the husband cut off the money so she had nowhere to go. So she moved from Canberra down to Melbourne. But one of the things, and she went through all the full spectrums, I guess, of what we perceive as being homeless in terms of sleeping rough and then in shelters and refuges and so forth. But she just had this incredible sense of humour and this spirit that she could laugh now at the things that she'd done. But she said the same thing. It wasn't until she had secure housing that she could actually start to do the work on herself that meant she could sort of move forward.
Yeah.
But she loved the fact, with this show, she loved that it was a dark satire, and she said you really need to punch people in the face with the issue and make them sort of sit up and take notice. And she said she likened satire to like a heavy meal. She said it's something you need to sit with for a while and you'll sort of slowly sort of think about it. And I think that's what we tried to do, is balance those laughs with something a little bit more deep and meaningful.
Well, the kids that are in this, they are just gems. They are so relaxed. And I mean, on the level of the scripting, having them as coming back, but there's over 100,000 people who are homeless in Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. not only that, they present in a way that's so relaxed. How did you get them to be so perform so well?
Yeah, I think part of it was luck. We worked with our Mulliners, who are this amazing casting agency out of Sydney, and Anne cast the net far and wide, because we said, look, it's set in the western suburbs. We want some sort of genuine diversity and different backgrounds and lived experiences in the room. And so they put forward a lot of kids, and we sort of did some auditions with Victoria, who was one of the directors, and sort of whittled it down to these three. And there was just something intrinsically magical about the way they presented themselves that sort of came to life on the screen. And then it was a matter of, instead of just having a really short rehearsal period, we sort of staggered it over 4 weekends, and we'd sort of do a half a day each weekend. So they got to work through the scripts and they got to work with the other actors. But they were just amazing little humans, in that they went off and did their own research and they'd found out about the issues and they were sort of telling me stuff. So they approached it far more seriously than a lot of adult actors, to be honest. They didn't want to do a disservice to the people, I guess, that they were representing. But some of the things that came through from talking to Rachel and the others was that kids grow up much quicker when they're in that sort of environment. So on the outside, these kids look like they know a lot, but they're juggling so many things in the background. So one of the things we spent a lot of time doing with Rachel and the others was looking at the backstories of the kids, and that can't all come through because we've only got 10-minute episodes, but there's these huge stories behind each of the kids into why they are and why they're acting the way they are. And so the kids took that on board and they had that in the back of their minds when they're acting the way that they were. But yeah, they just had a real level head and a sense of playfulness about it as well. And I think kids have this innate ability to cut through the bullshit as well, that they don't, if a politician won't give them an answer, they'll keep asking it a different way. They don't get that they're being spun to. They're just seeing an adult that's sort of not answering what they want to know. So there's a lot of fun, I think, in playing that relationship between these kids that just want a straight answer and these adults that will do anything in their power to avoid giving them one.
Mm. Rachel, there must have been a bit of deja vu for you watching some of these things, because you're in a particular position, and then you've got someone who's transducing your story into a media shape. So you, the person who's experiencing this, are being put on the outside.
Yes, that's a very good point, because the children that are in the web series, they're a lot younger than I was. My brother was 15, yet we're having exactly the same conversations, because the conversations and the questions that you're asked on a daily basis, you know, like, why are you homeless? Like, what did you do?
Yeah,
which is always the main point, is like, what did you do? Even at 17 and 15, it was our fault somehow that we didn't have a safe home to be in, that we had done something. And so I think it was really interesting, like you said, being on the outside, watching the amazing children, you know, fight back to the politicians, the influencers, and seeing again, like, the influencers, the business people saying exactly the same things that were said to me. I think it was done so well because, like I said, I was laughing, I was cringing, I was getting angry. So I think it nailed all of the spots. And I think a lot of people who have experienced homelessness or needed to access any services, you know, have had any hardship, will be able to relate to this series, because it is horrible to be sitting there and someone asking you questions and you telling your truth and then seeing them spin your truth and, like, nodding and writing things on pieces of paper. And, you know, you're trying to be like, is that what you wanted? Or they would say things back to me, do you want to say that again? And I was like, say what again and why? I can't even remember what I said. Like, you've asked me so many questions. And I think the kids were a lot stronger than I was in that situation. And again, it was really lovely to see them so empowered.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons for why doing a series like this is so important.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with your ability to wrangle all the phraseology. I sit there trying to remember the mad words people use to describe something that's so practical. You just need to make more homes.
Yeah, it's an argument that no one really has an answer for. It's quite... And that's what's frustrating, I guess, as a content creator, I suppose, is that on face value, it's an issue that we should be able to fix. Like, we're a well-progressed country. We've got money. And other countries like Finland have fixed it. But for whatever reason, and a lot of it's this entrenched attitudes, I guess, unfortunately, it's those myths and stereotypes about homelessness, about people bringing it on themselves or all being junkies or that type of thing. And that's some of the commentary. You'll see that play out in some of the comments on Facebook as we release the episodes. Some of the derogatory comments that people make online that are so ignorant, and they haven't even watched the show. They've got these ingrained stereotypes about homelessness and how it's their fault. So, yeah, it's frustrating on lots of levels.
Yeah, well, that's amazing, isn't it? People... It's that thing about if someone's in work, they're only 1 month away, if they lose their job, from being homeless.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's so bizarre. How do people get to see this?
It's on Facebook at the moment. So there's a Facebook page, Plausible Deniability TV. And the first, all the seven episodes are out there now. So there's sort of six episodes, and then the seventh is this bonus episode with the kids' documentary.
Thanks for coming in and talking to us about it.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.